Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to our listeners.
Oh, well, okay.
Hey, this is Dimitri Cerny.
That's right.
All the way from Canada.
Back again.
My co-host with the most. My name is Nikki Kourula. How are you guys? Yeah. We're going to jump right in. We got a special guest. This is a really good friend of mine from way back. Back from my hometown. He's been doing all kinds of cool movies. Mr. Jack Yang, let's give him a round of applause. Come on. I love it. Our studio audience, they're very supportive.
Big crowd.
And clear. See, they're very obedient.
They are.
Tell them to clap, they clap. You tell them not to, and mid-clap, they silence themselves.
Like barking dogs.
That's right. Jack, I got so much to talk to you about. Damn. First of all, we come from the same Arcadia neighborhood.
The ARC, man.
The ARC. You were an Apache, as was I.
Absolutely.
We spent many times hanging, partying, good times.
Discovering ourselves.
Yes.
Enjoying life.
Exactly.
Not getting caught by the police.
That's right. That was a very important part of our youth.
Yes.
Some more fortunate than others, right?
And it was before really the internet and cell phones.
Yes.
So much.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We never really got in the kind of daily trouble that people get into nowadays.
So people can't dig up the past anymore, huh?
No.
That's good.
The stuff we did was not forever.
It was worth it for the time.
We remembered it forever,
yes.
But it was not on record.
Yes.
Or in forever form.
But there were good times.
Oh, great times.
Yes, great times.
The kind of times that, like, you know, Linklater would make movies about.
Dude, honestly, I think that I would love to make a movie about that whole era of high school partying.
I've been working on something.
Ah, we need to talk then, man.
Absolutely.
But you know what's funny? You've been acting and doing some really cool shit. You were in Justice League.
I was.
You don't know that I saw you on Roadies.
Oh,
I was
thanks.
A huge fan of that show, by the way.
Nice.
Which
thanks.
Was dope. And I was kind of bummed because Cameron Crowe did... Vanilla Sky, Almost Famous. He did just a slew of the best music
movies. Yeah.
And so we did this whole show. Let's jump. I want to talk a little bit about that because I've been so excited about Roadies. So I'm in that world.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see a show built on the behind the scenes. Like the band is not the feature,
right.
But the band is the feature. And you have all these dynamics of the band, and then all these dynamics of all the people that are putting on the show.
Yeah.
And it was just, I thought it was shot well, written well, acted well. And you were in the band, man.
I was I was the keyboardist in the band.
I remember.
You know, I was the guy who didn't like fingerprints on my piano.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember there was one scene, I was like, holy shit, is that Jack? And I was like, is Jack in the... Jack's in the band! I was like, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
I'm in the band.
Well, I got to ask you first, because Cameron Crowe's one of my favorite directors. How was it working with Cameron Crowe?
Oh, man. The guy is... he treats everyone with the highest level of respect, regardless of whether you're an extra assistant, a guy sweeping, you know, dust.
That's amazing.
He looks at you and smiles at you like he knows you. Like when he shakes your hand. He shakes your hand and puts his other hand on your elbow. Just really, really looks in your eyes. And
so he's like a mensch.
He really means it. He really freaking means it, you know?
Did you have to audition in front of him?
I did.
Oh, my God. Wow. That must have been crazy.
Well, this is the,
You were auditioning?
No.
Oh, my God.
This is the craziest part. So at first, you go through your rigmarole of auditions. You know, your first round, you got your casting director or maybe casting assistant, right? I don't even remember what it was. It was just like, meh, okay, we got the first round. He said, callback. Go to the callback, and I'm sitting in the room, and the casting director comes out, and he's kind of like, you know, he's got a little bit of like nervous sweat on him. You know, you can tell he's a little bit more nervous. You're like, what's going on with this guy? He's usually more. You know, the guy's like, yeah, whatever. You know,
right.
Come on in.
He's texting during the auditions.
Hey guys, how's it going? You guys ready? Like he's twitchy. He's a little twitchy. And I'm like, what's up with Twitchy over here? Twitchy McTwitcherson. You're like, what's going on with this guy? Yeah. And he's like, so if you guys are ready, Cameron's around. He's in the room. So he's
and did you know that he was directing this before?
Oh no.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah. So he's like, so Cameron's going to be doing the callback, and I was like, oh,
whoa.
Exactly. I looked up the other guy, and the other guy's like, this is big shit right now. Yeah, no fucking shit.
Twitching all of a sudden, switch sides.
All of a sudden, we're like, whoa, okay, yeah, okay, let's fucking do this.
That's crazy.
So we're sitting out in the room. I'm sitting right there with some other guy who's auditioning for some other part. I think he was auditioning for the bassist or something. I can't remember. Just some other part. And we're just hanging out, looking at each other, like, well, this is going to be kind of cool. All of a sudden, Cameron Crowe walks out.
Dude, I got chills. I got chills, man.
And I was like, woo!
Wow.
And he goes, hey, guys, how's it going? Hey, sorry, I'll just be 1 minute. I just got to make a phone call real quick. So I'll just, if you guys can just wait 1 second, I'll be right with you. And he goes walking out, like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, man, take all the time you want. Take all the time you want.
And we're just, and you're like, oh, my God. You're trying to gather yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to gather myself, going, fucking, I'm just auditioning for Cameron Crowe right now. This is going to be crazy. Fuck. I don't even play the piano.
I mean, he didn't say anything. He's done so many great movies.
Just like a normal person.
Oh.
And when I walked in there and did the walk in, and he's like, oh, hey, thanks, how's it going? You know, he's like totally doing the humble nod. He's like shaking your hand and
Eye contact. Not coked
chin
up.
Chin not up. You know,
right.
Eye contact. Yeah. Not speaking through a second person to the intermediary, you know, like Cameron would like. You know, he's not doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And the funniest part is, there's the casting director, right? Normally they have a camera on a tripod. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Cameron's pulling out his personal pocket, like, film camera. You know those little ones that are, like, really expensive?
Yes.
I think it was a Leica, or it must have been something. He's
like,
I'll be doing it off of my personal camera, he says. Because you don't mind, do you? I'm like, no, it's cool. It's fine.
You should have been like, actually, I do mind, Cameron. And you know what? Get that thing out of my face!
Because normally it's a piece of crap.
Right.
Little flip camera thing that shouldn't have even been for like 96.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every one of those, you're just like, why are you still using those?
Exactly.
So he pulls out.
Is that a
really,
VHS tape?
Yeah. He pulls out a really nice one. You know, a really nice one out of his pocket. And he starts walking around you as you're doing the audition.
So he's filming.
He's filming you.
Wow.
Dude, I got chills.
This dude was like full on Steadicam filming me in the callback. As I'm doing the thing, he's like, pulling out, he's doing all that. I'm just like, you know, trying to stay in character, trying to be cool.
How are you not fazed by that?
Just, I don't know. Just a lot of training, 20 years of cameras in your face, and after a while, you just kind of, you know, you got a magic guy it out, and just he's not there.
Yeah, but it's different when it's like camera guy one, camera guy two, and it's Cameron Crowe too.
Well, and how many times have you been auditioned where the guy actually comes up to you?
Never,
and
never. Well, first of all, he's about as close as you are to me.
Wow. I'm not sitting on Jack's lap, but I'm close.
Pretty darn close.
Right.
You know,
right.
So and he's holding the camera out, like, in between us. So he's, like, that close.
Dude.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, cool. So then he jumps off his script, and he's like, okay, cool. So that was great. You did the, you know, that was wonderful. You did the thing. You said the thing. I told him, you know, let's do another thing where you're, like, you're doing, like, a photo shoot. And
he's like, give me vanilla. Give me
basically.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
Give me orange.
He's like yelling at me.
He's like, Jack, I need more apples.
You're happy. You're sick.
Yeah, right.
You're feeling all these feelings.
Give me Magnum.
Yeah, exactly. He's yelling all these things at me as I'm sitting there like doing this photo shoot. And he's actually going, okay, now you're at the photo shoot and you're there and you're giving it all, but you kind of don't want to be there. And he's like, he's telling me all these things I'm feeling. So I'm like, you know, trying to like move my eyes around and emote and feel like, yes, 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 just like that.
Wow.
So he's doing Austin Powers, fully going, yes, yes, just like that. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So that's happening.
Dude.
He goes, okay, let's do some more. So he's like a kid at this point. And then he opens up the door.
That's why he's badass.
Exactly. He kicks open the door, and there's the hallway, right, between here and, you know, getting out of the casting studio. And he's like, okay, we're just going to walk down the hallway like I'm paparazzi, and you're, you know, in band. And so just walk down the hallway like, you know, like you're trying to avoid, but you're kind of cool, but you're kind of not, but you're kind of... And he's like, okay, go. And so he's walking with me. And I'm just walking down the hallway. Like, okay, he's in the fucking band.
You know what? You know what though? Everybody in that hallway is probably like, "This guy's a badass."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, seriously. Ooh, the camera's just like, "Oh my god, this is great! This is great!" Just like doing this the whole time. I'm like, "Okay, cool, whatever." So we get back in the room, and he's like, "That was amazing. That was wonderful." Blah blah blah. Blah. And he's like, "Okay, thanks for really." He does a little wink, wink. Yeah. He's like, "Thanks for coming in today. You really nailed it." He gave me a big handshake and gave me a little squeeze and just kind of another wink. And I'm like, okay.
Dude, that would have sucked if you didn't get the part out of that.
Because I'm like, dude, he totally, like...
You're like, he's giving me the, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
I thought we were going to go bowling. I had no idea. I was just like, this is amazing. He was going to be my best friend.
You're like walking out of there and you're like, oh, I got this.
Oh, I totally fucked
it. You were like, nailed it.
That was like one of the very few times where I actually thought I nailed it and I got the part.
Right.
Because
right.
It never matches.
Yeah.
It never
no,
matches.
Of course.
Because
usually when you think you nailed it, it doesn't work out. Yes.
And then the one time I was like, I walked out of the room because they didn't give me any eye contact, didn't give me any love, didn't give me any feedback. I actually sat in the car for like a half hour and was like, I don't know if I know what I'm doing anymore. Like, it was one of those moments where I was like, I think I should pick another profession.
Right.
Because I can't keep getting this kind of response in my life. It's just going to be detrimental to my fucking psyche.
Right.
And then, another half hour after that, my agent calls, oh, you totally got the part. I'm like, what?
Dude.
Are you kidding me? What the freaking hell, man?
That's amazing.
What an emotional roller coaster.
Totally right.
Oh, my God.
I had to know. And this was...
And did he know you played an instrument? Did you tell him, I want to be the keyboardist? Did you tell him anything?
I was auditioning for the part of the keyboardist.
Okay,
and all
awesome.
He did, all he said to me was, let me see your hands. And I went...
Like that. That's
and he
amazing.
Goes, ooh, you got some nice hands. I go, yeah, they reach a whole two octaves. And I went
he's
like that.
He said octaves.
Yeah. And I went like that. And I kind of like, you know, wiggled my pinky and my thumb a little bit.
He's like, can you play a little air jazz piano
like,
solo?
I was like, check it out. I swear to God. And then he just went, ooh, yeah, that's nice.
Very nice. See, good knuckles on that
really
one.
Really nice. And, you know, to tell a little personal part of the story, he was like, so what's been going on with you lately? You know, normally people ask you some little personal question. They want just like a 10-minute or 10-second little of what's what you've been doing, even if it's BS, even if it's whatever. Say, oh, yeah, I've been doing this, blah, 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 blah. So he goes, what you been doing? What you been up to lately? And I was just going through a divorce.
Wow.
Right. And so something about whatever was going on, I just couldn't hide it. And I was just like, well, actually, to tell the honest truth, I'm going through a divorce now.
And he was just like, okay, this guy's being real.
Right. And you know what? He went, oh.
And you're like, fuck, I just lost the part.
But then he said, that's funny, me too.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I was like, what?
You're like, are we going to be best friends?
And I looked over at the casting director, and she's like, yeah, he is too right now. And I was like, what? And I'm like... Like, yeah, I'm going through the big D right now. And he started laughing. So it's not the big D. I was like, yeah, the big D. I was just like, oh, man. She kept the dog. I took the fish.
Are we going to hug it out? Are we going to hug it out right now?
Right. So more crazy. I find out later on when we get on set, he's having a birthday party on set. Guess what?
What?
Guess what? It's my birthday, too.
What? No.
Yeah. We got the same freaking birthday.
What?
We got the same freaking birthday.
You should have just put "Happy Birthday, Cameron" on the cake and Jack.
That's great.
Did you tell him?
I told him that. He's like, "Did you know?" And then we started sharing birthdays of who else has our birthday, right? So it's
Who else has your birthday? That's not even a secret.
I think. Well, first of all, it's Harrison Ford.
Dude.
Right.
Jack, when were you born?
Wait, when is your birthday?
July 13th.
Damn, it's not December 27th.
Oh, yeah, I was hoping for the same thing.
Cheech Marin.
Dude.
Yeah, bunch of really hip cats, man. And I think Sir Francis Drake. I think it was.
He lost me there.
He's a big nerd. He's a big nerd. Oh! And Jean-Luc Picard.
Dude. Jean-Luc. We're like best friends.
I know,
we're like best
buds. That's what I'm saying. Sir Patrick Stewart.
Dude.
Yeah.
Now you're just bragging. Now you're just showing off.
I'm just saying. It's a very small fellowship of, you know, July 13th, and we're all kind of cool guys.
So do they all show up at the party or what?
There's a message board. We all kind of like check in on each other, you know.
That's amazing, dude.
I didn't know. So I had no idea. Cameron Crowe, he's like, oh my God. And I'm like, oh my God. And then...
Wow. And that you had the birthday party on set?
On set.
Where was the set? Because you actually went to venues.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, what venues did you?
Well, actually, we did go to venues, but most of it was shot on, over at the, God, my brain is...
Universal?
No, it's a studio over, like, by the Manhattan Beach Studios.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a total stretch. Yeah, I know. You're like, if it's called Manhattan Beach Studios, there's a city after that.
Yeah.
So.
Culver City Studios, Manhattan Beach Studios. I think it was in Manhattan. Yeah,
right. No, that's cool.
It was some crazy name.
They built like a stadium venue that looked like, was it like a huge warehouse or something?
Yeah, they just had all the big ass stages. Sometimes they put up fake walls here and there, but most of it, they had a giant stage set up dedicated to the show. And they had... a weekly musical guest, right? So every time around lunchtime, the musical guest would do their sound rehearsal.
So they had the head and the heart.
Yeah.
They had who else? What other bands were featured on that show?
They had, I think...
It was such a brilliant concept because they had real big bands as the opening act for an imaginary band.
Right.
It was such a great concept.
Lindsay
Buckingham, that's right. He played...
Rain Wolf. My God.
Yep. So did you get to meet all these people?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and the best part, Eddie Vedder.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's right.
Fucking shows up.
That's right.
He's hanging out. And he's good friends with the guy who's like kind of drugged out and kind of woo-hoo on the show, right? Yeah. So they're really good friends in real life. And we're just hanging out outside of Eddie's trailer. And Eddie's like, got coronas. We're hanging out. He's like, hey, man, you want to come on over and have a beer with us? I'm like, yes.
What?
Yes. Yeah, so Eddie goes inside, cracks open the cooler. He's got a freaking cooler in there. He pulls out two coronas, gives one to me, and he has one, and he goes, cheers, man. And just fucking knocks it. And we're like,
dude.
Okay.
Let me tell you. My co-host, Eddie Pence, who's not here now, but he is the most diehard Pearl Jam fan that I know. If he would literally implode, he'd probably soil himself if you heard this story of you having coronas with Eddie Vedder.
Two
coronas.
I was like,
What did you talk about?
He talked about surfing. He talked
about...
Yeah,
he's huge into that.
Obama coming over to visit him at his house. I was like, wait, what?
Too cool.
He's the bomb.
He's just very casually talking about how, Obama came over, was hanging out with...
That was the band when I was in high school. Yeah. And the funny thing is I played Bonnaroo where they were the headliner. And we ended up, the band snuck into their backstage area, which is like, I mean, it's like you see all these tents and stages and it's really cool. And then you see the main stage backstage area and it's like this wonderland of lights and like, it's like going into Wonderland. You're like, what? What? This is what the headliner gets? Everybody else gets just like tents and like some, you know, golf carts and stuff like that?
It's just like a real set. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You got the extra tent, the holding tent.
Yes, right.
Where they got like chickens and fucking, you know, a pack of donuts sitting on the table and you got to fend for that, you know, between all of you. And then you got the main star. They got this full...
Ridiculous. And they don't even eat it.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even touch it.
No, they got a trailer. Yeah. They got the gourmet chef outside, you know, making frittatas or whatever the hell they're making. You're like, wow, he's got frittatas?
That's making it.
They never have frittatas on the menu for lunch, and he's getting frittatas.
But you know their money when they've made it, and that kind of treatment has become, like, old news to them. Yeah. And they're like... Yeah, go ahead, help yourself to frittatas.
When you got like a double decker trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got a workout room and a thing that opens up to another room on the side, and you're like, oh, dude, what the hell is that thing? That's Will Smith. That's
yeah, I was going to say, that's when Will Smith has his own one.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that thing. It's pretty intense. It's pretty amazing.
I gotta tell you, like, I loved the show Roadies. I really was kind of.
So much fun.
Yeah, and it was a great premise, it was a great concept. I don't think it was marketed. well, because it's like they took a show and just kind of half-assed the marketing. Well, and I loved the show, and I was like, dude, this is such a great idea and a great story, and I loved all the character interplays.
Yeah.
And then after season one, they just didn't renew it. And I was like, dude, you literally, that's a story that can go the distance.
Well, two things that I mean, the idea and the premise was great. Like you said, I completely was behind it. But the two things that I saw were fundamentally flawed as a, you know, the formula that didn't work for them. Number one is... see, you know how like on that show about the people that work for the English people, what's it called? Downton Abbey?
Slaves?
Yeah, slaves.
America.
Sorry. You know,
got a little too personal there.
Sorry.
Too soon.
No, but Downton Abbey, right? Downton Abbey, right? So the reason why that show works is because they show all the people who work for the people up top, right? But then they also show the people up top doing equally the amount of messed up or shit that they got to deal with down on the bottom, right?
Right.
The problem with Roadies is they showed more of the people behind the scenes than they ever showed of the people that actually did anything in front. And that's where I had a problem with the show, because fundamentally you kind of want to hear the people in the band.
Right.
Or at least hear one song.
Yeah, if it's I agree.
Bullshit.
And they
song.
Just did little snippets. It was like
we
the
never
end.
Got to play any music.
Yeah.
All right. I never said a single word.
Right.
In the entire show, even though I was shot. You know, we did a couple.
But didn't
of
you think that added to like the the mystique of the band? Yeah. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like, you know, you were on the inside, but watching it. Because I was like constantly like, oh man, I hope the band plays a song the next episode.
Right.
They never give that to you.
It was like watching a Cinemax show that they never.
It's called Boobs Aplenty. Right?
And then you're like, all right, we're going to see some tits. And then you get in there and all you see is butt crack.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, this is false advertising.
That's Dimitri's favorite channel.
Damn it. You know, but I'm just saying, you know,
no,
as
know
as another before, you're like, Roadies, wow, this is great. I mean, you're gonna hear some music, right?
Yeah.
You're going to see some drama. You saw the drama. You never heard any music. Two out of four band members never said a freaking word.
Right.
And the other two, you only heard just like little snippets of them being a little prima donnas, right?
Right.
That didn't work for me.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I want to see as an objective viewer.
You want to see both sides.
I want to see both sides.
Yeah.
I want to see what these people are.
But see, I thought they were going to build into that for season two.
I
get it. The next season's going to be that other
be
side.
Oh, talkie talkie.
Yeah.
The other side. No.
And they never did.
Never
it. Yeah.
And then the second part that really didn't work for me was the main girl, right? The girl that
I know who you're talking about.
The front.
The main roadie.
The main roadie, right?
Yeah. The skater girl.
Skater girl. Okay. So when you got a 2-hour movie and skater girl's got to have an existential freaking moment, realization about her life, she could be frumpy all day in the morning, in the beginning of the first act, even second act, right?
Right.
But she got to do a flip by the third act,
right?
Because you just can't see this girl keep being a frump the entire freaking movie, because you're like, where's your arc?
Like, get your shit together.
Get your shit together. Everyone around you is getting you're smiling and doing stuff and like eating Twinkies and having fun. What the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? You're just like, what the fuck? You're just frumpy all the time in that freaking overall and just like whatever all the time. I get it. She's got an arc to build up
right.
to. Problem is,
it never paid off.
It never fucking paid off.
Like, Luis Guzman was amazing.
Amazing. He had a great, fun time doing it.
Yeah.
But he's an unhinged character.
Right.
You know, you're just watching him the entire time going, dude, I don't know what that guy's going to do any second.
Right.
He's like a caged bull.
Yeah.
He could do something or nothing. But even the whole time, you're just like.
And he always has the same look on his face.
Yeah. Like he's about to snap. He's about to say something really profound or really stupid. Yes. You don't know what.
Or warm.
Or warm.
Too.
Or very nice. Or very sincere. You're like, wow, you're surprisingly sincere. I think you're really cool. And then you'll say something stupid. You're like, wow, Luis, it's crazy. But that girl, you had a pretty much guarantee she was going to be from
wet
the
blanket.
Entire wet blanket the entire time.
Yeah, I got that.
And she did not change.
Yeah.
By the end of the last episode, she maybe twisted a little bit.
It just became a little bit more whiny.
Yeah. A little bit more whiny. Her eyes were open a little bit more and her head kind of twisted a little bit.
No, I definitely saw that. I definitely
And that to me was like, I don't know if many people can stand watching someone whine for 13 episodes.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I want to see them pick it up. I want to see them pop out of their shell,
break
through, dry their wings off, and freaking start flying.
But there were some moments where, like, everybody was, like, getting high on the tour bus and just, like, listening to...
Right. But at most, she was just a little smile. A little smile. Like, oh, you smiled. You connected for, like, 2 seconds with someone. Rest of the time, you're a freaking robot. You know what I mean? So for me, those two things, as an audience member,
right,
would have been like, "Fuck this show! I don't. Right. I got other shit to watch."
Let's jump to Superhero Land.
Oh, dude,
Justice League.
That was fun,
dude.
Crazy.
You know what, Jack? Your post about it was so awesome. You were like, okay, now I can announce it. Now the movie's out. But I just happened to be in the biggest blockbuster of the summer. It's some movie called Justice League. And I was like, Jack, what? I was so excited.
Oh, man.
That was awesome. And you had a really cool scene. You were just like in and you were out. But you had a cool scene in that movie. It's like, dude, Jack's on the big screen. I was just thinking, I'm like, I know Jack saw this movie at least more than once.
I only saw it once.
Man, I would have seen it.
I was
like
only
10
at the
times.
Opening. They invited me to.
Wow.
I don't get out much. Oh, and the whole scene lasted for another minute.
Really?
After that. They had to cut so much out of that movie.
They had to cut like 40 minutes out of the movie. Something crazy.
They cut like 3 hours.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Zach shot the 3-hour movie, and then Josh shot reshoots for like 2 hours. And so 5 hours worth, they had to smash it up to two, and then they cut out three.
Well, how was he to work with?
Josh?
Yeah.
He was easy. He was like a warm cup of tea, man. Fucking just easy peasy.
And you did the scene with Amy Adams and Diane Lane, right?
Yeah. So the scene you saw, that everyone saw, was me popping into the coffee room being, hey, who's your lead? Blah, blah, blah. And I pop out. So after she, you know, says, it's not a girl. And, you know, they're having a little moment. She has a, and I'm actually sad for Amy Adams, not just for me, because I lost a minute scene in the movie. But for her, for Lois Lane, she lost Lois Lane coming back.
Right.
The whole movie, she was just waiting.
Right.
Right. You felt the entire movie, Lois Lane's just waiting for fucking Superman to show up.
Right.
And then when he shows up, she's like, you smell nice.
And you're like, what?
You're like, that's all you got to say? You smell nice? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get it. You miss it. But there's really not much that she really talked about, except in that coffee break scene, right? So after I take off, she has like a whoa, you know, eye popping, you know, a light bulb moment where she goes, wait a minute, he said he was going to go check on something. Hang on a minute, you know. And then she goes outside and asks me, who did you say the janitor was kidnapped by or something? And I end up saying like, oh, it was this and that. And I'm on the phone talking to the lead. And she goes, no, that's not right. It was this guy. You know, he works for another company who's also with their connection.
So she's like piecing it all together.
Right. And I'm like, wait a minute, hang on, I'll call you back. So I like hang up as I'm looking at her, getting kind of my ideas, and pull out the notepad. And she's like, you should check out this, this, and this. That's connected. And, you know, other than that, and she's, Lois Lane's coming back, right?
Right.
So as she's saying this, Diane Lane is standing on the side going, all right, no more cat, articles, whatever the hell she's doing. Lois Lane's back. And so she's smiling at her. She's piecing it back together.
And you're like, this is going to be awesome.
And I'm sitting there, like, writing, faster than I can think and whatever she's talking. I'm like, okay, yeah, totally. I'll go talk to my lead over at the department. She's like, no, I got it. I'll take care of it. I know so-and-so. I'll just go right now. Bing! She's gone. She, like, bolts down the hallway. She's telling me where she's going to go. And I'm standing up going, wait, it's still my story, right? And there's that moment of silence where I look over at Diane Lane and she shakes her head like, no, it's not your story.
and then you're like, scene.
And then there's all the other people in the bullpen, all the other writers, and they're all looking at me like, you just lost your shit. And I kind of just go, oh. And I just kind of like shrink back down in my seat like, okay, well, I guess
that's... And they cut that scene? Why? That would have totally made sense.
That's what I'm saying.
But dude, that's like, you know what? That's a total DC move.
I know.
DC movies are like, we're going to make this awesome. No! We're going to go here and make some edits.
That was like
the
old school Jimmy and Lois Lane banter.
Yeah.
That was one of those moments.
Yeah.
The only thing they got was 15 seconds with me and her.
Well, a lot of it, like, they're so jamming action, movies action, with the action, 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 and the CGI. And it's like, you don't need all that if the story's there.
So instead of that 1 minute scene of actual character building and development, we saw 1 minute more of fly people.
Right.
Flying around.
And you're like, man.
And I was like, jeez. Oh, and there's another scene that they completely cut all together. The Aquaman. So there was an entire battle where there was like, all these other dudes in like talking and dialogue and these just a whole other section. These guys train with Navy SEALs in the freaking North Sea, like Iceland and like Norway and shit like that. They were wearing like wetsuits. People were getting hypothermia. People almost died. The freaking ocean's doing this kind of shit. You know, like,
and they're like, yeah, we can cut it.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
Right? We'll cut it in post.
They fucking filmed it. No, they cut the whole fucking scene.
Why?
Because they needed time.
But they didn't save the time in the right way.
I know. There's entire scenes where they cut out, and you're like, what? Are you kidding me? That scene was
you. You know what? I love the DC comics. I go see every DC movie, but they always make this wrong turn, and it's like really in a short moment they just fly off the cliff.
Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, I mean, the main bad guy, Steppenwolf.
Right.
Who the fuck is that?
Right.
I mean, let's be honest here. Let the fuck be honest here. Of all the fucking bad guys,
you should have been like Josh. I've got comic book 437.
I got so many other guys that you could have picked that everyone would have been like, oh, fuck yeah. Right. Let's see these motherfuckers fuck that guy up.
Right.
Steppenwolf?
Right.
Who the fuck? I mean, when he popped up, everyone was like, who the fuck's Steppenwolf? You saw a collective sigh of people who didn't know shit go, who the fuck is Steppenwolf? Right? And then you saw the people that actually knew shit go, oh, Steppenwolf. And so it was like this look around the room of just like, oh, Steppenwolf. No one give a fuck.
But it's still cool you were in a superhero movie.
I know, but it's...
You were in the Justice League, man.
I know.
You weren't in a Superman movie or a Batman movie.
True, this is
You
true.
Were in all of them.
I was in the all. I was in all. So.
And it was the first all of them movie.
Right. And it's cool. It was cool. Those are the only... Just being a total dork.
You see Gal Gadot? Let's be honest.
No, I didn't see her.
Did you want to see Gal Gadot?
Yeah, I did.
I wanted to see Gal Gadot. And you know what? Amy Adams, what I love about her, it's like almost every scene, whether she's like dramatic or angry or sad, she always sounds like she's on the verge of crying. So that scene with you, I was just like, I bet Jack thought the same thing that I'm thinking right now. Because like, she sounds like she's on the verge of crying. And she's really like she could just say, I need a hamburger. But her line would be like, I need a hamburger. You know, like she always...
Everything's very dramatic.
Yeah, very dramatic.
Everything's on the edge of just tears.
Yes. But you were great.
Thank you.
What's next that we can look forward to?
Well, actually, I shot a show that I can't tell anyone about yet.
Okay,
because
I like it.
Hasn't come out yet.
All right.
So, but that's going to be one of those ones that you go, oh, that, you were in that with all those people.
That's awesome.
Isn't that neat? And I'm like, yeah.
I'll have to have Dimitri sit on your lap to get that out of you. Maybe a lap dance,
You'll have
Dimitri.
To pay me some extra.
And then I've been auditioning for a couple of projects. I got one coming up that, golly, if I get it.
Well, there you go.
It's going to be a game changer.
Well, let me ask you this. Where can people find you if they want to cast you in their next amazing superhero movie or dramatic lead? Or
could they find me?
Yeah. What, do you have a website? What's your IMDb?
Oh,
just tell our listeners, because people, you know,
I mean,
they don't know.
I'm on Instagram. I think it's Jack Yang Actor.
Oh, so it's
pretty easy.
Very unique.
Yeah, very unique.
You're like, how are people gonna know what I do?
Oh God, there's so many Jack Yangs out there.
And it's JACKYANG
Actor
at Instagram.
Yeah, or at before that, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We're getting too old for all that. All that stuff.
That's a pound sign to me, you bastard.
Well, Jack, I got to tell you, I'm so stoked to see you on the big screen. I'm so stoked to see you in indie shows, on Showtime, on content. You've been an amazing guest.
Thanks.
We're going to have you back.
Oh, we're going to have to do...
Yeah, we just scratched the surface here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I could have a 5-hour... This is why I was like, we got to get you in, man.
Oh,
we
tip of the iceberg.
Let's make it happen.
It's just a nipple on the titty, baby.
You heard it here first. It's a nipple on the titty. Well, on behalf of Dimitri Cerny and myself, Dimitri, thank you for flying all the way from Canada for this.
Of course.
I'm a Canadian, too.
I saw that. Yeah,
I'm a Canadian. I was born in Canada. What? Yeah, I was born in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Dude.
High five, dude.
What the freak?
BC.
What? Dude, you know what? We kind of like are the Canadian Neapolitan.
That's right.
Think about it.
Oh my God.
Next show in Canada.
We're going to talk about this.
We'll come live from Canada.
Poutine.
Poutine. Well, that's going to be us poutine an end to the show. Jack, thank you for being a guest. You are the shit. Dimitri, thank you for being co-host. You are the shit. And on behalf of Eddie Pence, you missed a great Eddie Vedder story, Eddie. I'm sorry, man. We'll see you guys here next week.
Yeah.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Korula and Eddie Pence. right here on LA Talk Radio.